You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm speaking to Bob Yurichuk, international speaker, trainer and author in our Aiming for Alpha segment. Let's start with that age-old question and title of your book, How Do You Stay Disciplined for Life?
Well, thanks, Frida. Discipline for Life is my newest book. And how do you stay disciplined? Well, let me first define discipline. I define discipline as a commitment to the most important person in the world. It means doing what you have to do, even when you don't want to do it. Now, the real trick behind discipline is any behavior that gets recognized and or rewarded gets repeated. So let me give you an example how discipline works. Now, Frida, are you a morning person?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you might be, being on the morning program. So here's the thing now. Would you say that your most productive time is the morning?
Yes.
Okay. What if you were to dedicate 1 hour of your most productive time to the most important person in the world? And by the way, who is the most important person in the world?
He'd be asleep.
No, you're wide awake.
Okay, let's just say it's my husband.
Oh, okay. But you see, if you don't take care of you, then you can't take care of your husband.
Oh, okay. All right.
So who's the most important person in the world?
Me.
Yes. Now, who's also your greatest enemy?
Myself.
There you go. You got both of them right. I should give you a prize.
So here's what we do now.
When you start... Sorry?
I read your book.
Oh, you have? Oh, good. Okay. That's all the better. So what we do is, when I realized I was a morning person, rather than getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning as I used to and have a cup of coffee, I now get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And what I do is I dedicate 1 hour of my most productive time to myself. So 6 to 7 a.m., I call that Bob time. And I do, you know, Bob does something to help Bob get where Bob wants to go. A lot of bobbing going on, you might say. But now that I've done that, what do you think my reward is at 7 o'clock?
Coffee.
A cup of coffee. Now, how much more do you think I appreciate that cup of coffee now?
A lot more now that you've gotten all the important things out of the way.
You got it. And plus, the coffee served as a reward. If I wake up at 7, well, I don't have that cup of coffee. I punish myself because I didn't do Bob time. Then I take it a step further. 7, 8 o'clock, I believe in physical fitness, so I'll go for a swim, I'll go skiing, I'll do whatever I can wherever I am in the world. And then at 8 o'clock, I'll reward myself with breakfast. And then when I go into a seminar at 9 o'clock, how do you think I feel?
Fantastic.
Exactly. Now, the key thing here is I feel great, and then, of course, I give more. Because now, how can I be effective at giving something to somebody else if I don't first have it inside to give away? So by starting your day off with by giving to yourself first and getting yourself in tune and focused, well, then you can be more productive during your day with others. So that's one way that I use discipline. There are many other ways of discipline in my life. Now, discipline does not mean that you have to be inflexible. I'm a very flexible person. I have a very balanced life. I have a very enjoyable life. But there are things that I do each and every day that are my daily disciplines. I call them disciplines because they're things that need to be done. There also are behaviors. Habits can become disciplines. The only difference is changing your ineffective habits to effective habits. Or your ineffective disciplines to effective disciplines. Because in reality, discipline is a habit. And the key to it, like I said earlier, is recognizing and rewarding appropriate behaviors. Any behavior that gets recognized and rewarded gets repeated. And that's what makes the difference with discipline in your life.
So you have to introduce that reward and so-called punishment to yourself to stay disciplined.
That's right. And that's the key thing to it. Because you see, if you, like that cup of coffee, it not only does it taste well, it's my reward for doing what I said I'm going to do. Now, keep in mind, discipline is a commitment to the most important person in the world. It's a commitment to yourself, and you should never lie or cheat yourself or let yourself down. So it's a strong commitment. One of the things I do with a lot of participants all over the world when they attend my seminars is because we only spend a day or sometimes 2 days together, it's too short a period to create a long-term relationship. So what I do is I add in some disciplines to them to create a long-lasting relationship. Because my whole focus is not to get people high for a day, but to keep them high for life. And to do that, I have to maintain ongoing communications. So what I do is I provide everybody in the world that attends my seminars with free email coaching with a guaranteed 24-hour reply from myself. That takes a lot of discipline to stay on top of it and to do that each day.
Do you agree, though? Do you feel that some people have the discipline and some don't? You know, these habits, how do you change these habits?
Yeah, the key thing is to change them. I find one of the biggest things lacking today in society is discipline. Most people do not have the discipline to stay on top of their own desires and dreams. So discipline is a key thing. How do you stay on top of it is another thing. It takes 21 consecutive days to change a habit. In the book, Discipline for Life, You Are the Author of Your Future, I provide some tools that help people stay focused and master this within 25 to 30 days. So it's a daily monitor. We call it a monthly monitor chart, where you monitor yourself on your daily behaviors.
Okay.
It really means doing what you say you're going to do on a daily basis.
I know that you speak to a lot of salespeople, and one of the things is that salespeople are in sales for the money. And is there anything wrong if the one and only focus is money?
Well, that's the biggest problem I find in a lot of places, and in Asia I see that a lot too. People think that success is all about money, and success is not about money. Success is doing what you love to do. It's your passion. And too many people get involved in businesses or get into sales just for the money. And it's not about the money. I have found from myself, my own personal experience, when I was younger, any business I ever got into strictly for the money, I would lose money. But when I'd get into a business for passion and because I enjoy it, well, money would flow a lot easier. Now, everybody wants money, but it's not about money. A question I ask people in a lot of my sales programs or a lot of my programs all over the world is, why do you go to work? What answer do you think I get from everybody all over the world?
Paycheck.
Exactly, to make money. And then I'll teach them a technique I teach salespeople and leaders. Never accept somebody's first answer. They usually think their first answer is the truth, but it's not the truth. What you need to do is apply what I call the rule of 3+. The rule of 3+ is you take the answer, you question the answer. You take the answer, you question the answer, and again, you go deeper and deeper. So when you say you go to work to make money to do what? To have a certain lifestyle. Well, what kind of a lifestyle? And the more you question it, the more you come to the realization that the real reason you go to work is because you have a dream. You see, work is nothing but a stepping stone to helping you get where you want to go. The problem in society today is most people don't know where they want to go. They don't know where they want to be, do, or have in a year, 3 years, 5 years. Mary Kay said it best. She says that, Mary Kay Ash, she said that people spend more time planning their vacations than they do planning their lives. What if we were to take 24 hours and plan our lives each year and then evaluate ourselves as performance reviews do in the corporate world? What if we were to do it for ourselves? It would make a significant difference in people's lives. And that's really what we need to do, is focus on what's important to the individual, because what's happening is we're losing focus on that most important person, and we get caught up into day-to-day circumstances, and we get so busy, 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 that we eventually forget that most important person in the world.
You know, one of the things that's happening right now, obviously, is economy, and everyone feels, you know, this mad rush for money because of the situation. You know, so how do you sort of steer away from that thinking?
Well, I have found that the mad rush about money has not been just since the economy. It's been around for many, many years, particularly, you know, in a lot of the Asian communities. It seems, you know, money, money, money seems to be the thing. But what we have to understand today is there's a lot of things in our life that are not under our control. For example, the economy, is that under our control?
No, not really.
No, there's nothing we could do about it. And nor is the weather under our control. What other people say and do is not under our control. And what we need to realize is that when things are not under control, we have to let them be. Let them be. We have to take control of what is under our control. We have to take control of our thoughts, our self-talk, the way we react to people, and, of course, our attitude. These are the things we need to focus on. And when we focus on these things, guess what? We start to take control of our life, and we also start to take control of the outcomes and the things that happen in our lives. And that's why it's most important to put our focus on what's under our control as opposed to what's not under our control. Right now, for example, in the economy, most people, because the economy is slowing down, most people are slowing down with it. They become a product of their environment. They become negative. They slow down. Now is not the time to slow down. Now is the time to step up. Now is the time to do twice as much as you've done before to maintain the same results. A lot of organizations are downsizing. They're downsizing in sales, the biggest mistake they can make. What they don't realize is that sales is the bloodline to their business. Without sales, there's no transactions. Without transactions, there's no revenue. Without revenue, organizations would not exist and no one would have a job. The world revolves around sales. And this time is a time to be hiring more salespeople, because we have to go out and seek out more prospects just to maintain the revenue streams that we have at the moment.
BFM 89.9, I'm speaking to Bob Urichuk, international speaker, trainer, and author in our Aiming for Alpha segment. So what sort of qualities should be inherent in a salesperson?
Well, a lot of people think that salespeople are primarily extroverts and they need that quality. However, that's not really the case. Most salespeople, to be good salespeople have to be good communicators. They have to ask questions, and they have to listen effectively and empathetically. They must be confident, motivated, goal-oriented, organized, patient, honest, trustworthy, and above all, professional. What salespeople today need to do is take the focus off themselves, off their company, off the products that they're selling, and put the focus on the customer. There used to be the golden rule. The golden rule was do unto others as you would like to have done unto yourselves. That's now been replaced with the platinum rule. Do unto others as they would like to have done unto themselves. In other words, today, yes, you are the most important person in the world, but when you have a customer in front of you, they're the most important person in the world, because without them, you do not have a sale. So what we need to do is put our focus on the customer, their needs, their desires, and show concern and be with them from an empathetic point of view, and be able to tell them whether we can help them or not. If we can't help them, we have to be honest and tell them we can't help them.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
What is this formula you've developed?
Well, the formula I developed years ago, I was very fortunate. I managed to sit in on over 40 of the world's top sales training programs. Some I sat all the way through, some I left, because they were traditional. And what I did was did a best practice of all these different programs and came up with a very, very simple sales results system. I refer to the system as the ABC123 sales results system. A stands for attitude, the foundation of all successful people. B stands for behavior, the things we do on a daily basis, the discipline in our life. And C stands for the competencies. The competencies are when we go face-to-face with a customer and how we behave. When we take a look at attitude and behavior, we look at it in three levels. One, we look at everything revolves in attitude, revolves around you. If you take, for example, a bullseye or a target, the center point is you. Everything revolves around you and your belief in yourself. If you don't believe in you, nobody else will believe in you. Then we take a look at the organization and your level of belief in the organization, and the team you work with, the products and services that you provide. And if you don't believe in them, of course, your customers aren't going to believe them. And then the third component was we look at the market and how, if you believe there's a market out there, and how the market perceives you. Because you see, you just by a simple change of your behaviors, you could change your perception in the marketplace. Behaviors, we look at it also in three areas. First, personal goals. Secondly, it's organizational goals. And thirdly, it's target marketing, your time and your energy to get the best return on time invested. First thing we do is we take a look at corporate world, gives us performance appraisals, and they teach us how to set corporate goals, and they evaluate us on it. And they do that because it works. But they've never taken the time to teach people about personal goals. And this is one of the first steps in behaviors. You have to have personal goals, because how can you achieve somebody else's goals if you can't achieve your own goals? And that's what keeps people motivated. And as I've been training more and more organizations, they're becoming more and more aware of the importance of having self-motivated employees and how important it is for people to find themselves, their strengths, their goals, their dreams and desires, and have a plan in place to get them where they want to go. And then the work helps them get where they want to go. So it's marrying up your personal goals with the type of work you want to do to get the results you're looking for in the long term. When we look at organizational goals, we look at it in different categories. We look at something called pay time and no pay time. Pay time is when customers are available versus no pay time, which are administrative details that take up our time and we don't really make money. Part of what I do is try to instill what I call an owner's mentality in people's heads. You got to get them thinking that they're 100% commission and that their job is their business. And the results are, they get paid based on the results, on their sales. So that's the owner's mentality. And then, of course, we take a look at the third component, when you go out into the marketplace and how to get the best return on your time invested. And we have different categories of clients that we look at. We look at criteria, we look at regain strategies, gain strategies, and of course, the whole idea behind this part of the program is how to get customers chasing you by name, not you, the salesperson, chasing customers. We use the reverse marketing strategies as opposed to a push strategy. We look at a pull strategy and help people set themselves up as experts so that customers come looking for them by name. And then in the C component, we look at competencies. And this is really the sales system from the point of view of we talk about how buyers buy, and we share with them the 4 points in a buyer system. Then we take a look at this system, step number one, where we build rapport. Rapport is always about building trust. If we cannot get a prospect's trust up front, we cannot ask questions, we cannot move forward. So what we do is we teach people how to quickly build rapport, how to get the customer to open up and feel comfortable with you. We use a lot of neuro-linguistic programming techniques in this section. And then, of course, the whole idea is to get that customer so comfortable they're talking away. Once we have rapport, we go on to step two, and we set the parameters. Setting the parameters is, again, customer focus. The question would be something like, oh, by the way, Farida, how much time have you set aside for our meeting? You would say, 30 minutes. And I'd say, what is it you would like to accomplish in 30 minutes? And then, of course, we focus on the customer's objective, and then we work around it. We ask permission to ask questions, permission to take notes, and then we make the customer feel really comfortable. By the way, Farida, I may not be able to provide you with a solution to any of the problems because I can't solve the world's problems. If I can't help you, is it okay if I tell you no? And if I can, I'll tell you yes. Because what I get sometimes is people say, think it over. It really means no, and it ends up wasting your time, and that's the last thing I want to do. So what you're doing is setting up a very honest, barriers come down, and this approach makes people very comfortable. And then, of course, it's a salesperson's job to qualify the customer. Qualify them from what are the buying motivators? Do they have the financial ability to pay? And when will they be making a decision? And who besides himself is involved in the decision-making process? Once we have the answers to these many, many questions, because that's a big focus on this whole sales system, is asking questions. And through the asking of questions is how customers show that we're concerned. By listening empathetically, we are liked, and we show that we care. And, of course, this is what gives us the edge as well. And then, of course, the three is buying motivators, four is financial ability, five is the decision-making, six, we summarize, and it's at this point we know whether or not we can help the customer. If we can't, we tell them, based on what you're telling me, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You try to help any way you can. Or if you can, I can help you. And then you proceed to what we call the prescription, not a presentation. It's the prescription step. The prescription step basically helps them to understand, puts it together from a point of view of the feet. This is where the features and benefits come out, but it's a presentation only based on the problems or this identified within their budget, within their time frame. In other words, it follows the rule of sell today, educate tomorrow. So you only focus on the issues at hand, and then you help the customer buy. And the simple closing line here is asking the customer, what would you like me to do next? And the customer will always say, depending on the form of payment or, where's the contract that I sign or here's my credit card, this sort of thing. So it facilitates the whole process. And the journey is really a self-discovery process, helping the buyer understand their needs and, of course, taking them really deep so that they feel the emotions and the pain if they do nothing. And then the final step after the prescription and helping the customer buy is maintaining the follow-up, maintaining the relationship so that they will send you referrals and they become your secondary sales force and sending you more business your way. So it's quite a detailed program. It takes an extensive period of time to convert people and change your attitudes and behaviors and their competencies. But we do this either through ongoing sales training, customized, Based on the industry and customized to management objectives and participant needs.
BFM 89.9, I'm speaking to Bob Yurichak, international speaker, trainer and author in our Aiming for Alpha segment. Now, you've also mentioned that you can't sell a product you don't believe in, but let me give you the scenario. Let's say you work for a computer company and they sell servers and new models come all the time. And yes, you do believe in the product, but there's one model that just doesn't fit in with what you believe in. And so how do you overcome that?
Well, you will find that most people who do not believe, and I ask this question a lot of times on a scale of 0 to 10, 0, this is the worst product you ever had to sell, 10, it's the best. Pick a number and don't give me your answer. But what you'll find is if you find that you get people that say 6 or less, I tell them to leave because they don't believe. And that number is usually shown in your body language. If it's a 7 or 8 or a 9, you need to talk to others about what is it, why is it you do not believe in it? So you yourself need to be sold on a concept, because only when you're a 10 will you get the results. If you're not believing in it at a level 10, you're going to only perform in a manner that's consistent with what you see yourself as. If you see yourself as a 6, your belief level is a 6 in that product, you're not going to sell it as often, and you'll only be performing as a 6. So everything comes with your level of belief. So the idea is to try and get your beliefs up, and if you can't get them up, you're better not representing it, particularly if you're 6 or less.
Right. So how do you ensure...
Because you'll be just wasting your time.
And the customers.
Sorry?
And the customers. And how do you ensure,
you
can meet your quota as a salesperson?
Well, this is the key thing, and this is where we get into what I call a ROTI. ROTI is return on time invested. What we do is we take a look at customers, and we develop criteria to identify our best customers. It goes back to the old 80-20 rule. 80% of our business comes from 20% of our customers. So what we do is we call this top 20% A customers, absolute. They're absolutely necessary because without them, we'd be out of business. The next level is your B customers. These are your beneficial customers. And then you have your C, convenient customers. And this is where your largest, this is where 80% of your customers are, contributing 20% of the revenues. Salespeople have a tendency to be focused on which level do you think, A, B, or C?
B.
Okay. Most salespeople will spend up to 80% of their time on the C customers.
Wow.
The C customers are usually the biggest problems. They want the biggest discounts, and yet they give you the lowest rate of return on your time. What salespeople need to do is focus on the A and B customers. The A customers, followed by the B customers, will give you the greatest return on time invested. So the exercise is really to first go to your database, identify the criteria. Is it volume? Is it margin? Is it brand? Is it what is the criteria that you would use to define your best customers? Then go to your database and identify all the customers as A, B, and C's. Take all the A's out. Take all the B's out. And then try to profile the A's. If you can profile them by industry, by age, by category, however you could profile them, you want to create a clear picture of what an A looks like and a clear picture of what a B looks like. Then you take that picture and you map it into the marketplace. And you go out and you seek out your A and B customers. Those A and B customers will give you a greater return on your time invested and give you their sales targets much quicker than working on the C's. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of changing your behaviors. I can remember one client last year in Dubai. It was September. They hadn't even hit 50% of the annual target, and it ends at the end of December. They only hit $2 billion, and the target was $6 billion. They had $4 billion to go in sales. Well, we managed to get them turned around with their thinking in a different manner, focusing on a different level of client, and guess what? Within 4 months, they exceeded target.
Wow.
Now, it's just a matter of changing behaviors and attitudes and direction of focus, and that made a difference. The whole thing was just getting their head around thinking big, trying different strategies, and, of course, focusing more on the A customers. Particularly during these down times, we need to focus more on the A and B customers and look at partnerships and collaboration, because that's what's going to make the difference in the next over the next few months and next year.
I guess it's also about being clear in the head, because with C customers, they tend to make the most noise and you tend to go with the flow if you're not clear in your head as well.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's a question I ask all the time. Which one wants the biggest discount, A, B, or C? everyone says C. Which one deserves the biggest discount? A. Well, what should happen if A finds out you gave a bigger discount to C? You just lost an A customer. And this is the key thing about A customers. If you're not maintaining relationships with them on an ongoing basis, your competitors will be, and that's where you're going to lose them. And during this particular time in the economy, people really need to put the focus on their A and B customers, because without them, they'll be out of business.
And speaking of customers, how do you build long-term relationships with them?
Well, it's a relationship. It's like just like friends. It's not always about, you know, following up and calling them and talking business or talking about your products and services. It's, you know, maybe somebody, you know, one of your clients has a favorite football team and their team wins last night. And you just call them up and say, how you doing? I see your team won yesterday. Congratulations. It's more of the friendship, because, you see, people buy from people, people they like, people they trust. Before anybody's going to buy a product or service from you, they have to buy you, the person, first. Once they buy you as a friend, they will buy anything you have to sell. You see, sales is all about building relationships. The more relationships you have, the bigger your network. The bigger your network, the bigger your net worth.
And one final question, how can salespeople stay on track of their goals?
Well, this is a key thing. It's, again, staying on track is discipline would have to fit in. We have a number of things, a number of tools that we share with people. One is a tracking behavior worksheet. The tracking behavior worksheet, it helps you identify your call-to-close ratio so that you know the behaviors you have to do on a daily basis to reach a certain level of revenue on a daily basis. And these are one of the forms. We have also there's a tracking behavior worksheet. We have the monthly monitor chart as well that will help keep you on track and help you get to where you want to go. But the focus is where do you want to go? Taking the bigger goal, like take your year, break it down into quarters. Take your quarters, break it down to months, your months down to weeks, your weeks down to days, and defining your daily behaviors. And then it's doing what you say you're going to do, and that's the discipline side of it. And then, of course, rewarding yourself either daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, etc.
BFM 89.9, I've been speaking to Bob Yurichuk, international speaker, trainer, and author in our Aiming for Alpha segment.
BFM 89.9, the business station.